The town of Barnstable was established in the early 1600s, and over time, seven distinct villages were established: Barnstable, Centerville, Catuit, Hyannis, Marston's Mills, Osterville, and West Barnstable. Joining us to talk about two new picture history books of the towns, Stephen Robert Lovell Farrar, author of Images of America, Barnstable, and James Gould, co-author with Vivian Cushing of Images of America, Marston's Mills. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Stephen, your book on the town of Barnstable focuses on a specific time period, the decline of the maritime industry and the beginning of the tourist economy. So explain why you chose this time period and where your images come from.
Well, when we were first contacted to do the book by Arcadia Press, they asked us to do a book on local Barnstable history. And when we surveyed our picture collection at the Barnstable Historical Society, we found that really our picture collection sort of went from 1839 to 1939, and which was between two anniversary celebrations. So that's where we started off mm-hmm. with it.
And the pictures came from then this?
Mostly the Barnstable Historical Society, mm-hmm. as well as one or two of its members, okay. and from my own collection as well.
Okay, so. And then, Jim, the Marston's Mills book spans a greater time period. One of the earliest images you include was an 1865 map of the village, and then later pictures are from cranberry harvests in the 1960s. So what determined the scope of your book?
Well, no book had ever been written about Marston's Mills, so this is the first time. So we were able to cover the whole history of Marston's Mills, which goes back to the 17th century. And we fortunately had a wonderful photographic collection that had been put together by the Historical Society 35 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And had never been published. There were calendars and little cards put out at one time. But this whole collection was the first time most of these photos yeah. had ever been seen.
That's amazing almost every town has had one of these books. It's amazing that this is the first one.
But the photos disappeared at one point.
Uh-oh.
They got digitized. And the president had them all digitized. And then he was bitten by a bat.
Oh,
and
no.
Died of rabies and didn't give his wife the password to his collection.
Oh,
so we
no.
were unable to go to, so we had to go back to the original photos. This is sort of an exciting search for these
yeah.
photos.
Wow, it's like a little detective
every archivist's
work.
Nightmare, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're there, but I can't get them. So Marston's Mills was mainly farming country. And, Jimmy, you have some wonderful images of the ponds and the grist mills and the cows from Hoard's Mystic Lakes Dairy. The picture really gives you a sense of how rural it was.
And it still is probably the most rural of all of the villages. Maybe West Barnstable comes close, but there's a lot of open space. There are big lakes, and there are woodlands and big fields and a grass airfield. So it's probably the most Cape Cod like village of all of the, maybe on the whole Cape.
I think everybody wants to think theirs is like the most Cape Cod-y, right? So even though Marston's Mills was mainly an agricultural town, you write that many of the young men from the village did go off to sea, and William Wright and Seth Weeks might have one of the more unusual sea stories.
Oh, they were in Melville's story. They were two of the sailors that signed up in New Bedford to go on the Essex, which was the ship that Moby Dick is based on.
Right.
And they were actually ran by a whale twice. And after it sank, they got moored on a desert island in the middle of the Pacific, thousands of miles from any place at all. And they were left there by their companions, who decided to go to Chile. And most of them never made it because they ate each other.
Right, I remember that story, yeah.
So these two Marston's Mills boys and a third man, the mate, were able to escape that fate. Fortunately, they were picked up before they starved to death, but they lived on gulls' eggs
oh,
and
my goodness.
Birds' yeah. eggs and whatever.
Whatever they could find,
they could
right?
find
yeah.
on this desert island.
Oh. Stephen, as tourism begins to grow, so do the number of inns and resorts that are built. And you have some wonderful photographs of both the early small lodges and then the stately large resorts, such as the Hallett House and the Wiano Club. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it was kind of an interesting evolution. Tourism started around the 1870s in earnest in the town of Barnstable. And a lot of it was first based in old sea captains' houses, sort of like, you know, large houses. A lot of these people would take in summer visitors for the extra income that it would bring, or they would involve themselves in the tourist trade one way or another by providing meals or by providing carriage services, that type of things. A lot of the old inns that were built were actually constructed around old sea captains' houses. So, for example, the Hallett House was a smaller house and then was built.
Built up,
To or a out. Huge size. Built out, exactly, and whatnot. And then these resorts, if you'd like to call them that, attracted the same crowd year after year of devoted you know, people that would come and love to stay at the same place they'd been at the year before.
Yeah, and some of those resorts were really grand. I mean, you see lots of old postcards. Most of them are gone now, those big, huge resorts that they had.
As somebody who pointed out in my book, they had a tendency to burn down, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So a lot of them, and even the Wiano Club, which was known as the Cota Chesed House, had a devastating fire and burned to the ground. The owners there rebuilt very quickly, and I think it was back in service by the next year, but as a totally different building.
Yeah. So in the collection that you use for the photographs, are some of them, I know a lot of people collect the old postcards. Is that part of what your collection is?
Some of them are the old postcards and some of them are old pictures as well. A lot of our collection are family albums that came to the Barnstable Historical Society, and a lot of them, were postcards, and it was a great way of preserving images of what the old areas looked like.
When you think about that, how many people have boxes of photographs up in their attic or stuck in a closet somewhere, and maybe so far back you don't even remember who these people are? What a great idea to leave them to a historical
Tons of people have albums like that all over the town of Barnstable, and as I like to tell people, make sure you write some information on the back of those pictures so we know exactly what area the house is in, who the people are in the picture. A lot of times we would get an album, we had no idea whether it was town of Barnstable or the people were connected with the villages one way or another.
Don't you have to be careful though what you write in? Can't that damage the photo?
I mean, yeah, you have to use a special archival pen to write on the back of the photo so that it doesn't leave an indentation on the other side. Absolutely.
All right, something to keep in mind there. All right, so both of your books have images from the early Barnstable County Fair. Now the fair, of course, is in the town of Falmouth, but it started in Barnstable, and the early images of the fair really show, in many respects, similar to the modern day fair, isn't it?
Absolutely. You don't have quite the number of mechanical rides as you have these days, but the essential, I'd say, plan of the fair is the same. You have horse races. I don't think they do baseball games at the modern fair anymore, but you had a midway, which back in the early 19th or late 19th century, early 20th century was called Faker Row, where you had novelties, snake oil, salesmen, fortune tellers, that type of thing.
Yeah. And then, of course, we always have had the, you know, judging the agriculture and the flowers and things like that.
Oh,
we have a picture of a horse drag where they put as much weight as possible on a barge and then get horses to drag this. And this is one of the great rural contests that went on all the way up into the 1930s.
Yeah.
And I think as a child going to the Barnstable County Fair, when it was located in Morrison's Mills, back in the 60s, they were still doing that same kind of horse dragging where they put the weights on and see how far the horses could drag the sledge with the weight.
But we had aerial stunts. We'd get these small biplanes come in, and people would jump out of them and parachute out. This was a added feature of the rural fair.
Great fun.
Well, you mentioned, Jim, the first airfield on Cape Cod was in Marston's Mills in an old potato field. And that airfield, of course, is still there today. The Marston's Mill book has some really wonderful images of the early plains.
Yes, we had the proprietor of the airport, the fellow who runs it today, has a wonderful photo collection of old plains that, and he gave us the permission to reproduce these. But there's some wonderful. It's a grass runway, and this is the they've kept it this way. It belongs to the town of Barnstable today, and we've kept it that way and still. But a lot of famous people have landed at that airport. Amelia Earhart. We have a woman in Marston's Mills who remembers shaking hands with her.
Wow. And then, Stephen, you mentioned that many of the images in the Barnstable book come from the Thatcher family. And off air, and you mentioned that two of your favorite images in the book are of Franklin Thatcher, a Civil War veteran. So describe these images and why you found them so meaningful.
Well, you know, they were very meaningful because Franklin Thatcher was a facet of, like, Memorial Day parades, 4th of July parades, Labor Day parades. And he would don his old Grand Army of the Republic uniform, get on his horse, and lead the parade and whatnot. And so that was one interesting feature. The other one was a Memorial Day and Welcome Home Day parade for returning veterans. And one of the photos in the book, which is that one right there you're looking at, of course the audience can't see it, but shows the surviving Barnstable Civil War veterans on one side of the street with troops on the other side. And I believe that's the one where they're unveiling the flag with the 65 stars and whatnot.
I kind of like this Girl Scouts Welcome Home Parade 1919.
Yeah. And they all have like letters on their shirts and stuff spelling out welcome.
So Cape Cod, known for its salt water, but the freshwater ponds played a large role in the history of our region. And both of your books make a point to illustrate this. And Jim, talk about this, the illustration, the photos you have of freshwater ponds.
Well, there are three large ponds, the second largest in the town of Barnstable, Mystic Lake. And these feed into a herring run, one of the best herring runs in on Cape Cod. And it's still running herring, but they used to get thousands of barrels of herring, which were then pickled and then shipped all over the United States from that herring run. So this is the basis of the Indian settlement, which was the founding of Marston's Mills. But then it was followed when it was dammed up. The river was dammed up, coming down from the lakes. They were able to use the water power for basically the first industry in the United States. Mm-hmm. Some of the first industries were iron industries, but the fulling industry was the most important. That hence Marston's Mills. It's the fulling mill was the basis of a large industry in the village. They wove cloth and made battens and all kinds of other things from this mill that was doing the fulling.
Hmm. And what about your ponds?
Well, in the book Barnstable, I focused on Wequocket Lake quite a bit. And Wequocket Lake was once known as Nine Mile Pond. And the name was changed during a boat race celebration in the late 1800s when they changed it from Nine Mile to Wequocket. And it had a number of different resorts on it. Chief among them was Campo Peachy, and Campo Peachy is now the Wequocket Yacht Club, I believe.
Because who wants to have a yacht club on a pond, right?
Well, and it's a pretty big pond. But back in the 19th century, it was very popular for boating. They had a number of steamers that operated for tourism purposes on the lake. People would come and fish. And I think I pointed out in the book that a impossibly huge carp was actually caught by one of the fishermen there, a German carp. They figured it must have been introduced at some point along the way, but it was quite large. And there were a number of other houses and inns on the lakes as well. There were cafes, and it was quite an active waterfront, probably much more than it is now, I would assume.
So talk a little bit about the research. I mean, you know, you have all of these photographs, and some of them you have a lot of information on, some not so much. You obviously both know a lot about history of the towns because you do that. So tell me about what kind of research. Were you just picking your own brains, or did you have to do other research?
What we did was we had to go with the photographs that we were fairly sure of the information on, and that was the basic information that was on the back of the photograph. Some of them had very little detail. Some of them had a lot of detail. There was one photograph in specifically in there that named a person, named the area, named the train, and all that type of stuff, which was great. Some of it depended on personal recollections. I selected the photos with two of the other curators for the Barnstable Historical Society, Robert Stewart and Lisa Blair. And I depended on their historical knowledge quite a bit in terms of...
So you've used all your heads there.
We used all our heads,
I remember this.
Yeah.
And what about you, Jim?
I ought to give credit to my co-author, Vivian Cushing, who is a lifelong resident of Marston's Mills. Her husband was actually... The historian, he had died, but she had accumulated all this information. So she's the one who I depended on
for
the facts. We did a little bit of original research by talking to the old timers. For instance, Charles Hamblin, who was in his 93 or so, and a very sharp memory, one of the Jones family, Mrs. Childs, is in her. She's 90, 90, 91, I guess.
Got to get some oral histories
to
these folks.
Fun
right?
to talk to these people about their recollections.
Absolutely.
Well, and one of the things that I just want to interject that we use as a research tool was the Barnstable Patriot, which had been digitized and placed online. And fortunately, the dates for that was from 1830 to 1930, which fell in line with our own parameters for the book.
All right. Stephen Robert Lovell Farrar, his book is Images of America, Barnstable, and James Gould, author of Images of America, Marston's Mills. Thank you both.
Thank you very much. It's
Thank
been a
you.
Pleasure.
I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Amy Vince produces The Point with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.